when I was getting these thousands and thousands of calls, and literally one of the hardest periods of my life, to have person after person call me and die and die and die and die, and I couldn't save them all. When this was happening, you know, it got to the point where someone would call me, I pick up the phone, okay, how long have they been in the hospital? Okay, 8 days. What are their kidney numbers? What is it? What is their respiration? Are they on the vent? How long have they been on that vent? I could ask a series of questions and I could tell you and predict with 90%+ reliability, despite the fact that I'm not a doctor, how many days they had before they were dead. And that's all over the country because the same murder protocol, the same factory death project was done everywhere in the country. These people, they followed the law. They followed the incentives. They followed the money. They followed the plan. And the plan was to kill people. We incentivized, and still to this day, the laws have not been changed, by the way. We have laws on the book that incentivize not the recovery from COVID, but the killing with COVID. So I want you to understand what I just said, Alex, in plain terms. You got a PhD, super high-end, quality educated pharmacist, as credentialed as anybody on the planet, in a hospital, says to the hospital, your policies could result in patients dying. Can I have an exemption from supporting these policies? And instead of the hospital saying, oh my God, they could, we need to change these policies or at least reevaluate them. Instead, the hospital fires her and retaliates and won't give her a religious exemption. She was asking for a religious exemption from being complicit to murder. In my mind, that's how I view this. And I mean, what can I say about, instead of the hospital saying, oh my gosh, we need to look at this. We need to evaluate, is this right? Did this pharmacist find something? Did we not know? Instead, they triple down and they fire the pharmacist. They're not using mRNA, they're using modRNA. And this is critical. Now this abstract of this starts with, quote, reprogramming non-cardiomyocytes into cardiomyocyte like cells is a promising strategy for cardiac regeneration in conditions such as ischemic heart disease. We used modified mRNA gene delivery platform to deliver a cocktail termed ... of four cardiac, quote, reprogramming genes. Alex, they aren't using mRNA. They're using modRNA, and they are reprogramming our genes. It says so right here. It goes on later to talk about, and it says, quote, modRNA is currently being used around the globe for vaccination against COVID-19. They know they are creating genetic changes in humanity, and they are doing so intentionally, and they're not telling you.
All across the Western world, hospitals were paid the equivalent of $53,000 to secretly lock people up, put them on ventilators, and then give them a cocktail of drugs to kill them while the families were left outside. Many of the hospitals where they did this were cleared out of the regular medical staff. And then many individuals posing as doctors and nurses carried out the killings. Well, I've been interviewing him for over 2 years, and I thought he was credible at the start, but I know he's completely credible now. So many of the top whistleblowers from the DOD, the vice president, EcoHealth Alliance, all of them went through Tom Renz, attorney. He's a lead lawyer in several major cases brought in Ohio, New Mexico, Maine, and nationally against the CDC, DHHS, and Fauci regarding forced vax mandates, big tech censorship, these COVID-19 lockdowns, mask mandates, business closures, false PCR test data, fraudulent death numbers, and more. And he works with a lot of doctors and scientists around the world. Renz, RENZ-law.com. Now, this is really a chink in the enemy's army, in the enemy's armor. This is a lot bigger than the hundreds of thousands of people they killed here and hundreds of thousands more around the Western world. It's about setting the precedent to be able to carry out larger scale operations like this in the future. This is eugenics, this is euthanasia, this is depopulation. You see Canada saying, we're gonna make people commit suicide now. We're gonna kill mentally ill people who who are wards of the state, and the ward says, I'm going to kill you. We're going to kill children who are just depressed. We're going to sterilize your children. It's happening here. This is the weaponization of the medical system against us. And key hospitals, 139, as I said, 138 from memory, around the country, from this whistleblower information and the audio and the documents, carried this out. More modern hospitals, highly controlled. Remember, they would also do the PR stunts that were documented all over the country and all over the world, where they'd say, oh, look, it's overwhelming. Lines, hazmat, don't come to the hospital. Can't do your regular surgery. You got a heart attack? Don't come here. But they'd sent most of the staff home and brought in key people to carry out this beta test for what they had done. Now, the great Dr. Jane Ruby, who we need to get back on the show, had Tom Renz on a few days ago. It's gone viral. Breaking whistleblower, pharmacist, tape confirms hospital murders are intentional, using morphine overdoses to hasten deaths in COVID patients. But it gets worse. Remember what happened in the UK. They got a stockpile of a drug that's used to put people under, an anesthesia, and they would kill them with that, knowing that if you give somebody even a small amount of this, they can't breathe. Number of prescriptions for the drug midazolam doubled during height of the pandemic. And right before the pandemic started, the UK government ordered the biggest stockpile ever of it. And it goes on from there. FDA reports shortage of sedation drug used for putting COVID-19 patients on ventilators, which also means you can't breathe. Even though you're on a ventilator, it shuts the lungs down. They gave remdesivir that shuts down the kidneys and other parts of the body. Midazolam was used to end the lives of thousands who were told have died of COVID-19, and the NHS document proves staff were ordered to do it. Now, if they get away with this crime, they can get away with anything. And Tom Renz joins us. We'll also air part of the tape. He'll give us updates on where this is going. But Tom, I know this is hard work. But I just see your tirelessness. I see you everywhere. We salute the work you're doing. And I'm just so proud to know you. Obviously, we need to expose this because, as I predicted a few months ago, when they ended the pandemic, I said the UN would later say we ended it because a new one's coming. They now announced that last week. So they're getting ready to hit us again. We've got to take this down. We've got to intellectually, culturally convict them in the court of public opinion so no one goes along with them. And we see Chelsea Clinton saying there's less trust in the big pharma now than there was 3 years ago. Exactly. Obama came out and pines for old days when people believed the media and they could control the common set of facts. Well, the truth is they killed a lot of us, but they really lost in their COVID attack in that they wanted to keep the lockdowns going longer, wanted to set the precedent for the world medical ID. That has failed by and large. The new UN treaty to take sovereignty is in deep trouble. So we're in a fight for our lives. Tom Renz, we salute you. Thanks for being here.
It's mutual. Alex, it's been an honor to get to know you over the last couple of years and to stand with you pushing truth. You know, the thing about this is I was shocked. And, you know this, Alex. When I started fighting this, you know, I'm just some nobody from a little town. And so when I hear things, you know, I would hear Alex Jones, you know, that guy, he's on, you know, he's talking about how they suppress his information. All this stuff. I used to hear that and think, boy, I don't know about that. That seems ridiculous. Now, fast forward 3 years. 3 years of me getting my chops busted every day for telling truth. I mean, you know, I'm putting out paperwork that I got recordings. I've got cited government documents. I got all this stuff. And what they tell me is that it's fake news. Are you kidding me? It's absurd. So I got to tell you, Alex, I'm honored to stand with you and to get just a little bit of understanding of what you've been through for so many years. So I appreciate all that you do as well.
Well, we're not as bad off as the folks they murdered on these ventilators and what they're planning to do next. So there's a lot going on with COVID. I'm going to get updates on all the other lawsuits and things in a moment, but let's drill into the ventilators. I mean, we know family couldn't visit. They kicked the rest of the staff out. Same policy worldwide, bounties to put people on ventilators. And we know the drugs were killing them. They knew it, said, don't give it to somebody on a ventilator. So they stockpiled it ahead of time. I mean, all that proves it was a conspiracy. We could convict any of them with just that evidence. But now you've got the big pharmacist groups, everybody, they know what's on the indications and they know what they've been told. Lay this out for us.
Yeah, so let me start with this from the law, right? And I want people to understand how this was done. And so that you don't think that this is an accident or a one-off, I want you to understand the way the law worked on this. We legislated hospital murder factories, okay? So this came from our government. Now, I don't think that the buffoons that voted for the laws actually knew what they were doing. I mean, we got Nancy Pelosi. You got to pass the
law. No, exactly. You get global policy pushed by the UN. The governments just sign on to it. It's the people writing the policy. Well, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're dead on, Alex. Listen, the people that were pushing this, they were behind the scenes. The people that voted on it were just too dumb and lazy to read the bills. So here's what happens. We got, and I'm gonna use the word law generally to include policy, regulation, guidance, all these sorts of things. We've got the law that's shifted, and National Center for Vital Statistics, the CDC, the HHS, all these people, all the law, they say, listen, if you're coughing, if you've got any symptoms of COVID, we want you to call it COVID. If you've got, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's COVID, if it could possibly be COVID, we want you to diagnose COVID. And if you diagnose it as COVID, that's fine. And you'll get a bonus. If you don't diagnose
And I'm sorry to interrupt, but just to back you up, remember, zero flu in all these countries for those years because they were calling flu that and killing them. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you got it. You got an incentive, right? You got extra money to call it COVID. But if you didn't call it COVID, you were going to get a call from the government saying, why are you not listing these people as COVID? And they say, well, what are the symptoms? And the symptoms for COVID and the flu were identical, by the way. They were indistinguishable. I've put the side by side up before. They're indistinguishable. So you've got everything being diagnosed as COVID, and you get a bonus if you diagnose it as COVID, because we pass a law that says if you've got COVID, not only can you call it COVID regardless of what it is, but you get extra money for calling it COVID. Then we pass more laws. And the laws, what they do is they make it so that once you have COVID, if you give someone the appropriate treatments, you get a whole bunch more money. Well, the appropriate treatments start out with things like remdesivir, which causes system failure and kidney failure and organ failure and all sorts of problems. Not in every person, but in enough of them. You throw in things like you mentioned, milazepam. Well, it suppresses your breathing. Your oxygen levels fall. So anybody that lost a loved one in the hospital, you can be assured of one thing. They were probably getting a sedative of some type, and that sedative was suppressing their breathing, which means their oxygen levels and saturation inherently go down, which means then the hospital tells you that you need to go on a ventilator. Well, they got a big bonus for using their remdesivir and these approved treatments. And then they get another bonus once they get you on the ventilator. Well, the approved treatments push you towards the ventilator. So then you're on a ventilator. Hospital gets another bonus. Then to top the whole thing off, once you die and they call you a COVID death, the hospital gets another bonus. So instead of incentivizing hospitals treating patients and getting them healthy, we incentivize hospitals murdering patients. On top of that, Alex, as if all that wasn't enough, we also passed laws that said if you're treating COVID, you can't get sued unless you can prove that you acted willfully and in the patient's against the patient's interests. What that means to a lawyer is this: I have to prove that hospital meant to kill you to file a lawsuit on your COVID treatment. Right?
So you as a lawyer that are an expert on this, you see them premeditatedly setting it up to make it harder for them to get in trouble.
Absolutely. Well, you got to understand, not only do you have to prove that. So in any instance, anytime you have to prove someone acts willfully, that is very difficult in court. Now, when you combine that with the fact that they've incentivized everybody using the exact same treatment protocols, what that means is that not only do you have to prove that they acted in bad faith, but you have to prove that everybody acted in bad faith. Because at the end of the day, what they're going to do when I say, listen, these guys acted in bad faith, they knew they were killing people, they're going to say, no, this is what everybody did. You can't prove that. We just did what everybody did.
Yeah, we're not bad. We're just following the global policy.
Their defense is if everybody jumps off the bridge, I had to, too. And so there ends up, from a legal perspective, they essentially create immunity on a level that is almost impossible to pierce. Almost. Now, when we start looking at and analyzing this from the position of willfulness, well, we're getting to a point now where I think we're just about able to show that. Because as statistics, as facts, as evidence is coming out, you know, it looks more and more like this is willful. These guys knew what they were doing.
Sure. Well, of course, it's willful. It's premeditated. But if you can expand on that, under international law, common sense, just because they've been given immunity in some regulation, again, willful conspiracy, that everything's overridden by that.
Absolutely. Well, as an added bonus, in certain instances, RICO will take precedent over government immunity. So these crooks in the federal government that were pushing this, if we get to the right point, we've got the right evidence, we're going to actually be able to go after them as part of a RICO claim, because this was a corrupt enterprise, in my opinion. I don't think there's any question about it. We're getting closer, but, you know, for the people who are impatient about this, and I understand why, because I know how many, I got the phone calls, Alex. I can't tell you. I got every day for months on end, phone call after phone call. People tell me, listen, my loved one, my sister, my brother, my aunt, my mother, they're dying in the hospital. They tell us she's got 3 days to live, but they won't let us try ivermectin. They tell us there's nothing else they can do and that they aren't going to do anything, but they won't let us try hydroxychloroquine.
Oh, no. I would open the phones up and people were just begging with loved ones dying who were totally healthy. And so, I remember we had the whistleblower nurse out of New York where they would just grab homeless people and throw them in. They weren't even sick and they just murder them.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, and there's a great image of how empty this was. The only time you actually saw sick patients was when they set it up for a photo op. You know, this was unbelievable what was occurring. And, you know, meanwhile, you see these idiots that were in the medical profession doing this stuff at the time. And the thing is most of the idiots that you're showing right now actually thought they were doing good. See, they didn't bother to do their homework. What they did was they read the CDC guidance.
They just sat there. Most of them got sent home. The others just put people on ventilators and took the money.
Yeah.
So they're dancing while people are dying.
Yep. They read the guidance. They listened to the administrators. Whatever the hospital says, that must be true.
And the media said they were all heroes. We'll be right back.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
We just joined some stations that just joined us. Continue, Tom Renz. Breaking that down for people, how this conspiracy worked and what this new whistleblower information is you have.
Yeah, so, you know, we've been working on gathering the data because we have to show willfulness. Well, so I get a call from a wonderful lady, and she doesn't really want to be public. I mean, her name's public because she's filed a lawsuit and it's public record, but she's asked me to speak for her publicly because first of all, she wants to make sure she's not saying anything that's going to damage her lawsuit. And second of all, she wants to make sure that she's not looking for fame or fortune. She's a mom of five. She's got a PhD in pharmacy, Stanford educated, one of the most qualified pharmacists I've ever ran across. I mean, the woman is a brilliant pharmacist. And her name is Adrini, and she comes forward. She says, listen, I'm a pharmacist. I'd worked in clinical trials with big pharma, this, that, and other. I wanted to get back into patient care, went back into that. And while I was at the hospital working during COVID, you know, I was looking at the drugs they were using, and I felt that their protocols created an opportunity to hasten death. Now, hasten death is it's a term that's used, but don't overthink it. If I shoot you in the head, I'm hastening your death, right? It's a polite way of saying killing someone. It doesn't matter how you hasten death. Hastening death is still killing someone, right? So she says, you know, they wanted me to sign off on these protocols that I thought were going to hasten death or that had the potential to cause death, this, that, and other. I said, well, okay. She said, well, I applied for a religious exemption because I didn't think that was right. And they ended up firing her and retaliating against her. So I want you to understand what I just said, Alex, in plain terms. You got a PhD, super high-end, quality educated pharmacist, as credentialed as anybody on the planet, in a hospital, says to the hospital, your policies could result in patients dying. Can I have an exemption from supporting these policies? And instead of the hospital saying, oh my God, they could, we need to change these policies or at least reevaluate them. Instead, the hospital fires her and retaliates and won't give her a religious exemption. She was asking for a religious exemption from being complicit to murder. In my mind, that's how I view this. And I mean, what can I say about, instead of the hospital saying, oh my gosh, we need to look at this. We need to evaluate, is this right? Did this pharmacist find something? Did we not know? Instead, they triple down and they fire the pharmacist. I mean, think of how absurd that is. So we've got a pharmacist, you know, as an added bonus to all this, because, you know, when I hear a lot of people tell me a lot of things, right? And I always have to, I mean, you know, at this point, Alex, I quintuple verify everything times 10. Well, it turns out that Adrini not only said it, but she just so happened to record and document everything she did. So she had recordings, she has paperwork, she has all sorts of things. Now, amongst those recordings, there was a clip which I just released, and that clip is between her, remember, the doctor of pharmacy, and a nurse who works in the hospital. And if you're going to play it, this would be the time, because it's shocking.
We'll set it up for us. Tell us what we're about to hear.
What you're about to hear is Adrini, the pharmacist, talking to a nurse. And what they're talking about is, prior to this, Adrini had talked about how she'd been transferred, and they transferred her position for speaking out against what they were doing. As part of the process, they transferred her, and they did everything they could to shut her up. And so she starts out, you know, they transfer you and it's politics. This nurse starts talking about her floor. And she says, what are we, hospice care? And she says, you know, this doctor, he's killing patients. He's telling us to kill the patients. And she goes on to talk specifically. There you go. So we're killing the patient in this floor, because what he's asking us to do, the other floors don't want to do it. The other floors don't want to do it. You're right. The other floors do not want to murder patients. Shocking. And then they talk about the use of morphine that, you know, based on this conversation, it looks like the unnecessary and unwarranted use of morphine, which is what we saw. A lot of what happened, you know, remdesivir was absolutely poison in my mind. I think it's absolutely a horrible, horrible drug that should never been anywhere near a human being. But one of the things that not many people are talking about, and this is your pro tip for any of the other attorneys that want to get into this. Remdesivir is a tough one to fight in the courts. But if you look, you'll find the misuse of other drugs was very frequent. Not every case, but known drugs, morphine, milazepam, all these.
That's right. And there's a big scandal in the UK. They admitted that they basically killed people with it. So let's go ahead and play this clip. Here it is.
Say, are we hospice for? What's the deal? She said that Dr. Spiegel said this floor is going to be his patients. So I was like,
See, I don't have to always do the.
So we're killing the patients this floor, because maybe what he's asking us, well, other floors don't want to do it.
Yeah. I couldn't sleep at night. And then when that nurse practitioner, when you got that mission to do the morphine, and you're like, she doesn't need it. And I was just like, this is what I'm talking about. It's not right.
They're okay. If they're comfortable, they're comfortable. We can tell when they're in pain. We can tell when they're agitated. We can tell when they are whatever. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make that you keep giving them medication just to knock them out. Because apparently that's what you were doing.
Because I remember that day you were like, you got the other nurses to come in, and I'm just like, I know, that's what they're doing.
And the big thing I get told by all these top doctors is, especially with COVID, you got to get up and move around. But these drugs are known to put fluid in the lungs, make you give up, make you die. And so they premeditated. But notice, other floors, the hospital wouldn't do it. The special floors would, Tom.
Yep. And I mean, that clip is monumental. I mean, this whole floor, how many people died on this floor? And what I'm hoping
and that's
is
a nurse practitioner, basically a doctor, agreeing with the PhD pharmacist, this is murder.
I'm not sure if the speaker is a nurse practitioner.
Well, they're talking about a nurse practitioner. Yes.
They talk about another nurse practitioner. Yeah. I believe the speaker on there is a nurse. But yeah, they're talking about murder. They're talking about murder. And when the pharmacist said, I think this is a possibility, instead of them listening, they retaliate. They retaliate. I mean, Alex, this is evidence of willfulness, right? Which means there is no immunity. There's no immunity for willful actions. And it looks like that's what's happening here. And what I would suggest is, and what I'm calling for, is I'm calling for the AG of Alabama, along with the local law enforcement, to start an investigation. There needs to be a criminal investigation. Was there murder committed in this hospital? And understand, hastening death, it doesn't matter when that happens. If you hasten death,
it's murder.
How do you distinguish between that and murder? To me, there's no difference. So we've got the lawsuit with my client who's been trying to bring this forward, who tried to bring this to the hospital's attention.
Stay there, Tom Renz, because here's the key. Not just for the victims, for justice, but they're going to do it again. We've got to expose it before they do it again. We'll be right back. Stay with us. InfoWars is known for being tomorrow's news today. InfoWars is known for having 98% accuracy on average. InfoWars is known as being a game changer, and our products are not any different. Two amazing products that I really want you to try if you've never tried them, or if you've been a regular buyer of them, they've been sold out for a long time, they're back in stock, I want to remind you are now back in stock, are the Real Red Pill Plus and Ultimate Bone Broth. I don't have time in 60 seconds to tell you about all the ingredients, but believe me, you want to go research. You want to go check out Real Red Pill Plus and Ultimate Bone Broth back in stock, but they're selling out quick. And despite the fact they're selling out, they're both discounted. In fact, Real Red Pill Plus is 40% off right now. But in a week or so, it's going to go back to full price because it's about to sell out. This is your chance to experience Real Red Pill Plus and Ultimate Bone Broth exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. Thank you for your support. Well, a true freedom fighter, heads above the rest, is Tom Renz, knocking it out of the park with just incredible dedication and hard work and research. I want to give a few examples of premeditation here that anybody can see, but that are hiding in plain view. But this issue of liability is really key. We know it came out in Brazil because the documents leaked that they wanted Bolsonaro, Pfizer and Moderna. And people say, well, Bolsonaro ran the country. He didn't. He didn't run the bureaucracies or the Congress. So they were trying to sign deals to sign over the national parks and the national treasury for liability for an unproven shot. But they bought off the other politicians demanding it be done and saying, you're going to murder us, Bolsonaro, if you don't. Well, he said, I'm not doing it. So now the UN's looking at war crime charges against him, and they've raided his house in Brazil, saying someone might have had a fake COVID card. So they're using this for control, but we know there's secret agreements with the UK, with Germany, with France, with Israel, with the US, with Canada, with Big Pharma for liability protection. It's the same thing they did through the hospitals. All of it premeditated. And remember, we saw the pharmacists and everybody opening up the big white pieces of paper. Any other drug you buy, by law, that's not over the counter, has that fact sheet in it and everything about it on it. But when you open this up, it just said what the drug was and where it came from, and it was all white because there was nothing there. Because you can't attack something if you don't even know what the ingredients are. Now, think about that premeditation, then think about this. We can put Reuters on screen in a moment. The first show we're opening up for TV viewers, nothing there, totally blank. Remember what happened a couple years ago, the quote, illegal aliens, the migrants, they didn't have to take the shot. And Reuters reported that the UN said, well, we don't have liability protection. We didn't sign on to Pfizer and Moderna's secret agreement. So we can't give you an experimental shot. See how that works? They've covered all their bases. But in covering the bases, they show the organized crime. They show the racketeering. Refugees lack COVID shots because drug makers filed lawsuits. Documents show, oh, but you got liability protection everywhere you did it in the countries, which were the Western wealthy countries you're trying to get rid of. Tom Renz, let's finish up here, because I want to get into other COVID issues with you on this huge ventilator story and this huge, you know, these death floors and what they were doing. Because I agree with you, this is a real chink in the dragon's armor that could bring them down, especially as more witnesses come forward and say that, yeah, we didn't even follow the law. We didn't follow policy. It was handed down to us to do this.
Yeah, no, we didn't. And I hope before we're done, Alex, that, because this just triggered a thought in my mind when you showed that blank sheet. I would love to break some information about the mRNA that's in these vaccines before we get off of here. But these killing floors, I mean, it appears to me that this was not an uncommon thing. Okay, so I can't prove. I don't personally, and I saw that you had some stuff on this, Alex, and I'm going to be really eager to look at it as soon as we get off air. I don't have the evidence to show that there was a killing floor in every hospital in the country, but it sure looks like it.
No. I was saying at the special hospitals, we know they shut down multiple floors, kicked out the regular doctors. There were different variants of it. So when I say killing floor, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm interested to see, because that might tie into our investigation, because we're looking, how widespread was this, right? It looks to us, based on information that we have, that this was not an uncommon thing. And, you know, this was in an Ascension hospital. Ascension is a huge network. Was it just this hospital, or was it in their network? You know, did they have that same protocol everywhere? We're working through a lot of stuff on this to try and see how widespread this was.
I mean, we know from Australia to the UK to here, they put them on these drugs. They kicked everybody out. They had special floors where they did it. I've got a family member that works the VA in Omaha, or it's my wife's family member, and it was the same thing there. They said they kicked everybody out of the hospital, had special floors, regular staff couldn't go there. This was done all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me do this for you. So, right, I'm an attorney, and I always do this for your audience and everybody else. I always distinguish between what I can prove with court-type evidence and what I believe. I'm going to tell you outright, based on a ton of evidence that I have that I don't think quite gets to the level of proof, but certainly strongly suggests to me, anyone with common sense would say this is it was planned. It was happening all over. They were doing this everywhere. I mean, you got the exact same thing happen. You know, Alex, when I was getting these thousands and thousands of calls, and literally one of the hardest periods of my life to have person after person call me and die and die and die and die, and I couldn't save them all. When this was happening, you know, it got to the point where someone would call me, I pick up the phone. Okay, how long have they been in the hospital? Okay, 8 days. What are their kidney numbers? What is it? What is their respiration? Are they on the vent? How long have they been on that vent? I could ask a series of questions, and I could tell you and predict with 90%+ reliability, despite the fact that I'm not a doctor, how many days they had before they were dead. And that's all over the country, because the same murder protocol, the same factory death project was done everywhere in the country. These people, they followed the law. They followed the incentives. They followed the money. They followed the plan. And the plan was to kill people. We incentivized, and still to this day, the laws have not been changed, by the way. We have laws on the book that incentivize not the recovery from COVID, but the killing with COVID. If you have COVID and you die, the hospital gets more money. And instead of saying if you get COVID and the hospital cures you, you get more money, they needed to drive up death numbers to push vaccines, in my opinion. That's what I think this was all about. I think it's, you know, anyone with common sense can see this. And I'm just working on getting it where I've got enough evidence to make it work in a court of law.
Well, I noticed the globalists always hit on multiple fronts. They need a bunch of death numbers not really happening, so kill people and set the precedent to be able to kill people.
Yep, absolutely. You know, I mean, to me, there were so many things that occurred here, so many different aspects of this. And, you know, you look at the military, when they started pushing vaccines and this, that, and other, what they did was the best and the brightest in the military quit. They're gone. Right. So they're left with whatever was willing to just go along to get along. In the same way, I think we saw the same thing with doctors and hospitals. Right.
It was a test. It was a purge. Bingo.
Yeah. The good doctors and the good nurses left. And that ties into the Operation Nightingale stuff. Right. Because you have all these doctors and nurses quitting. Either they didn't want to get the vaccine or they didn't want to murder patients. So the good ones all quit. Creates a huge shortage. So how do you fill that? Well, you fill that with crappy doctors and nurses who are willing to do whatever they need to sell out, or, you know, to get
just
big
following
paycheck.
Orders.
Just following orders. We got to purge the free thinkers and get those that will just follow orders at any and all costs. And that's exactly what was happening in healthcare and in everything. I mean, around the board, we don't want anybody who's going to critically think or think for themselves.
And they're gearing up again to do it. So we're going to break in a moment. We got a minute. Tell me what else is on your COVID radar.
Biggest thing I would love to talk to next is something called mod RNA. I don't know if you've heard of that, but I need to talk about that because it ties in with the food supply. You know, I've been doing a bunch of work on the food supply, and you got to understand, I found this, I'm just finding this, and I really would love to break it and make it go viral right here, because this is how they're spreading disinformation about the fact they say, well, we can't make mRNA work in the food supply. It's a lie, and I think I figured out how they're doing it.
And you're also going to get into what was in the vaccines when they kept it all secret. So if you're learning more about that, Tom Renz, you're amazing. Stay right there. And what's the best website? You got several.
TomRenz.com. We're putting everything on TomRenz.com, pushing it right there. That's where our sponsors are. That's where everything is.
And Renz is R-E-N-Z, Tom Renz. We'll be right back. I'm Alex Jones, InfoWars.com, NewsWars.com, Tomorrow's News Today. This is do or die stuff, ladies and gentlemen. The whole New World Order operation organized this, tested it, created it, released it, and then the vaccine was the answer. So they released the virus to push us into the poison shot, and I want Tom Renz as the tip of the spear to get into what's really in the shots. They try to keep it secret. Is there mRNA being put in the cattle and pigs? They admit there is, but they say don't worry about it. He's really been the guy that first discovered this 8-9 months ago, and now it's a huge story. And first they denied it, now they're admitting it. This is just crazy. So Tom, roll through this right now for us.
All right. So understand something. So what we found is, you know, this mRNA issue with animals and transmissible vaccines, and it's fairly complex, right? There's plant-based transmissible vaccines, there's animal-based transmissible vaccines, and then there are vaccines that are mRNA-based, but not necessarily transmissible, or we don't know if they're transmissible. So what that means is we need to distinguish here a little bit, right? So first of all, if an mRNA vaccine is something that not necessarily, we don't know if it's transmissible, but it's given to an animal or whatever. Well, what happens when you eat that animal, right? mRNA vaccines do have the potential to genetically modify the creature. So now you're no longer eating a pig or a cow. You're eating a genetically modified pig or a cow. What's that do in your body when you eat it, when you digest it? And the answer is, I don't know. I've done a lot of work. I've tried to find research. I've tried to find follow-up studies. There's my Substack, you know, we don't know. Now, with this Substack, we talk about eating your vaccines, your vegetables. This goes to the other issue, which is the transmissible vaccines, right? The transmissible vaccines. Now, this appears to be something that can be done in both plants and animals. And the first study I was able to find goes back to 2005. They created a transmissible hepatitis B vaccine in potatoes. Right. And if you look, I've got a wonderful article published on NIH where they talk about the various plants that they use. And they say actually one of the most the best plants that they could use on this for mRNA vaccines is lettuce. But there's a lot of these plants that they can use. Alfalfa is listed in that particular article, which is interesting because it's a feed plant for our animals. But we see that they have transmissible vaccines. Then we see Medicago. Medicago is a company. They're creating plant-based COVID vaccines. They had a greenhouse in San Diego. I think that's since been shut down. But I do believe Medicago's plant-based vaccines are actually licensed in Canada. I'd have to double-check, but I'm pretty sure they're licensed in Canada. And it's you eat the plant, you get the vaccine, you're vaccinated, right? That's the purpose. There's tons of studies, tons of evidence, tons of information on this, where what they're doing is they're talking about and showing, hey, if you eat your vegetables, you can get your vaccine. And to the Bill Gates crowd, to the globalists, this is a win. Because if the globalists can get you to get this stuff more easily, well, they figure more people can be vaccinated. The problem is the way the laws apply for food, you may or may not be getting informed consent. Then we look at animal vaccines. And this is where it gets particularly interesting. And actually, for both plant and animal-based vaccines, one of the things that I get in response from a lot of the crooked scientists out there, and I'm talking about the crooked ones, is, oh, mRNA is a very fragile particle. Very, very fragile. It can break down. It can fall apart. It'll never survive digestion. So an ingestible vaccine is just not a thing. Okay. Alex, this is I want to break this here. I want to break this and I want people to hear me. mRNA is a naturally occurring particle and it is fairly fragile. What they've done is they've produced something called mod RNA, MOD, as in modified RNA. It's a synthetic RNA. It's not real. It's not natural. What it is it's something that's created in a lab, and they created it specifically to get around the fact that RNA is such a fragile particle. They needed to strengthen RNA, these RNA platforms, so that they could get them into your system in various ways without it being impossible to transport this, that, and other. mRNA as an idea has been around for a long time, but they couldn't get it to work because it was such a fragile particle. So there were breakthroughs going back a number of years. And I'm looking right now on my other screen. I've got an article in 2015 talking about the use of mod RNA. They've been working on this for a number of years. And by the way, 2015 is when we have whistleblower data suggesting that they created SARS-CoV-2 in the Wuhan lab. And it appears that they tried to create the cure at the same time as the vaccine, but that's the disease. But that's another thing. So when we look at mod RNA, the rules for mRNA don't apply to mod RNA. The rules are different because what it is it's a synthetic particle. It's designed to be more robust. So that explains why we're seeing some of these other studies. So, for example, we've got a study out of China where the Chinese scientists are claiming that they were able to take mRNA, which mRNA and mod RNA are frequently seem to be used interchangeably. When these psychopaths are talking about it, but there is a difference. mRNA is a naturally occurring particle. Mod RNA is not. The mod RNA vaccines are given then to these cows. Well, in this study, these cows then, after being given the mod RNA, their milk transmitted the vaccines, right? They showed that it was transmissible through the cow's milk once it got that. Now, this presents a real issue because there's no country of origin labeling. If you can modify an animal or a plant to include a vaccine, and those vaccines can then be used to vaccinate whoever ingests the plant, the animal, the whatever, and it can be done so, and there's no country of origin labeling, so any
it's the perfect way to just interrupt, this is riveting. But bottom line, Bill Gates has said for 20 years, the key will be vaccines in food and vegetables, meat and vegetables. They're doing it now. It does pass over to us. Even Pfizer admitted that their vaccine can shed. So that's what they're doing. And they're just one way or another. This is so criminal. So am I wrong? There's major liability in the fact that all this unapproved stuff is just being put in plants and animals, and they're just bum rushing us.
I would argue that there should be, and there probably will be. They're trying to use some legal loopholes on food versus medicine. But I'll tell you, Alex, one of the things that I really want I really want to make sure that you hear me on is this mod RNA. They call it mRNA, but if you look at the Pfizer ingredients or the Moderna ingredients, you'll see that it doesn't say mRNA, it says mod RNA. I've got some labels showing that. That mod RNA, that synthetic particle that they create in a lab, see, what they're saying is—
It's nanotech. I got to go to break here in a minute or two. Can you do 5 more minutes?
Sure.
And then we have another special guest joining us coming up after that, Stu Peters, so— Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. Tom Renz is doing so much great work. We'll be right back to you. I need to pause here because I get so focused on these guests and so focused on the intel. If I don't promote the products we sell, we shut down. We're barely in the black, but that's not the reason you want these products. Yeah, it keeps us on air. Yes, tip of the spear. We're saving so many lives. We're fighting their next big rollout, next big pandemic. But these are really great products you need. The Ultimate Bone Broth, the 10-Hour Clean Energy Turbo Force, X3, our full-spectrum CBD oil, the books, the films, the T-shirts. This is the InfoWar. And things are so serious, I just need a larger percentage of the viewers to reach out and to become customers at InfoWarsStore.com. We have the highest quality water filters. There's like four or five companies that have the same ratings. I mean, but they sell for two to three times more. We have stainless steel gravity-fed water filters that are the lowest price anybody's got for this quality. This is the highest rated filters and on average half the price. Everybody needs this in their home. Everybody should be filtering your water. Whether it's well water, you name it, most of it is full of crap. This cuts everything out to non-detectable levels. InfoWarsStore.com, the fluoride, the bromine, the atrazine. You need to be doing this for you and your family. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. High-quality storable food at the lowest price you're going to find for quality food, ready to ship. Everybody needs to get prepared, and this funds our operation. I want to thank you all for your support. And I want to ask those who do want to experience these great products to get them, to go action. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. You saw we finally have a budget to send over to the border. Tens of millions of views, exposed it, huge, you know, we're fighting back. I'd be at Bilderberg right now covering it, but don't have the funds to go to Europe. We will do everything we did in the past and be more effective, but it's up to you. Our future is in your hands. This is not just Alex Jones on the show. It's all these other amazing researchers, guests, people like Tom Renz. So go now and back us in this fight. You are the Paul Revere's. But whatever you do, spread the word about the broadcast. We'll be right back. All right, final segment with attorney Tom Renz. Stu Peters joining us with massive news information next segment. But getting into this mod mRNA, that's just another name for nanotech, self-replicating. And it's just insane that the establishment is even doing this, even though they want to kill us. So dangerous. So finish up. Tell us about that.
Okay, so I've got two studies published on NIH, and I know nobody likes it when you read, but I don't think there's anything more powerful than their words. This is a study from 2015, and they're talking about mod RNA. They talk about challenges that have to be addressed in developing mod RNA, and this is in 2015. They talk about chemical modifications at the time were relatively primitive, and they need to be improved to allow negligible signals from innate immunity from being elicited, right? So they need to trick your immune system, right? At the same time, modifications need to be made to make them more biologically compatible to allow higher translation efficiency. Translation. Why are these translating into your body? What do you mean you're translating? I thought these don't modify anything. I thought they just create messenger proteins. I did thought that they weren't supposed to modify our DNA. They go on to talk about other issues, you know, getting less toxic characters and the fact that these at the time weren't targeted for specific tissues, things like that. Now, I want to jump forward to 2021 and another NIH published study. Now, again, differentiate between mod RNA and mRNA. They're not using mRNA. They're using mod RNA. And this is critical. Now, this abstract of this starts with, quote, reprogramming non-cardiomyocytes into cardiomyocyte like cells is a promising strategy for cardiac regeneration in conditions such as ischemic heart disease. We used modified mRNA gene delivery platform to deliver a cocktail termed ... of four cardiac, quote, reprogramming genes. Alex, they aren't using mRNA. They're using mod RNA, and they are reprogramming our genes. It says so right here. It goes on later to talk about, and it says, quote, mod RNA is currently being used around the globe for vaccination against COVID-19. They know they are creating genetic changes in humanity, and they are doing so intentionally, and they're not telling you. That's how I read this.
Incredible. You've got to come back on, and I've seen the documents. I'm familiar with this, but you're really hammering it. Send us all those studies. We'll get more. Come back on next week and, you know, host an hour, host 2 hours with us, and let's go through all the documents. But, yes, they admit the COVID shots are modifying DNA. And they've tried gene therapy before, and it kills a good percent of the people that take it. That's why they can never roll it out. So now they're just trying to roll it out anyways, just cover up the death, so they find the live ascension for themselves, and we're used as guinea pigs.
Absolutely. This is nothing more than the greatest human experiment in history and the most egregious crime against humanity in history. This is every bit the equivalent to Nuremberg and what we dealt with there. We have got to hold these people accountable. There need to be trials. They need to be public. There needs to be 100% disclosure and transparency. These people are intentionally modifying humanity in some genetic way that I don't fully understand, and I'll admit that. But these studies suggest to me very strongly that they are aware of the gene
altering. Well, of course they are. That's why Schwarzenegger and all of them said they're going to live forever. And the President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, because they believe out of this, they're going to find a way to live forever, but they're using us as the test. Tom Renz, thank you so much. God bless you. We'll talk to you very, very soon. In fact, before you go, if you can tell them when you want to come on next week, we'll set it up right now, sir.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir. Well, you talk about a flamethrower of truth. We were just talking to him in another one. What a star-studded event here of Liberty. Stu Peters, of The Real Stu Peters, is coming up straight ahead in the next hour. We are going to knock it out of the park in the fight against the NWO.
Lately you've been showing all the signs.
All right, we're going to go right back to your phone calls here in just a moment, but I just want to say this again. We have millions of viewers and listeners. You're amazing. You spread the word. It's incredible. But you really are the power of this broadcast. If you don't take action, the dog doesn't die. And separately, we have great products, water filtration, air filtration, that are the highest quality, highest rated for the lowest price you're going to find. Do your shopping at InfoWarsStore.com. And we have amazing supplements like X3, the very best iodine, the missing link. 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities in the world because they don't have iodine. Most people are deficient in iodine. The government's lowered the daily allowance that you're supposedly going to have. It is the thing that energizes your brain, your cells, and so much more. X3 back in stock, discounted, InfoWarsStore.com. And we also have the ultimate krill oil, the fish oil, highest quality there. Sugar good for your brain, your body, your heart. It's incredible. We have 10-hour clean energy, Brain Force Ultra back in stock, discounted, all at InfoWarsStore.com. While you're there, get a great reset in the War of the World, my book, either signed or unsigned. Get a film, get a t-shirt. I want to thank you all for your support. We have other great products there like the Nitric Boost. It's so good for your heart and your blood to clean that out. God has given us so many great compounds. We have the highest quality CBD oil at more than half off what any competitors sell. The same 1,000-milligram systems for. So CBD oil, whatever it is you need, InfoWarsStore.com. We have turmeric, 95% curcuminoid. It's the same from a different manufacturer, the same thing as bodies. InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. A very small percentage of you ever go to the store, ever buy anything. You really need these products. You're missing out. Plus, we need to stay on air. That's a win-win. The only way we lose is you not taking action. So make the commitment in the fight to try these great products out. For those of you on the fence, take action now. InfoWarsStore.com. And I thank you humbly for your support and salute.
If you're thinking you are the stranger,